Welcome to Design Thinking and Doing for Social Innovation. This podcast is coming to you from unceded Ghana land, and I'd like to pay my respects to elders past, present, and future. On a number of different fronts, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are calling for a fundamentally different kind of relationship between them and Australian institutions. And this might just be something that the methods and approaches we're going to explore together here could make a small but important contribution to changing. I'm Chris, and I'm Chief Innovation Officer at the Australian Centre for Social Innovation, or TACSI. And this course is going to introduce you to design thinking methods for social innovation. This module introduces the course and what we're going to cover in the rest of the modules. For the most part, these are methods that I've been working with throughout my career for the last 25 years or so. I started my career in the commercial design space, designing critically important things like biscuits and cameras and razors and perfume. I'd spend time watching tourists take photos or observing men shave in their bathrooms or with people talking about their biscuit eating habits and coming up with yet another wildly creative perfume bottle. It was all about identifying opportunities for new products. But at the same time, I started to get involved in using design methods to address social challenges, designing new kinds of services to address obesities or services to help London homeowners green their homes, as well as new kinds of support for older people and new kinds of support for long-term drug users. And for the last 12 years, I've been here on Ghana land in Australia, working with my colleagues at the Australian Centre for Social Innovation to bring people in institutions closer together, to reduce the harms that are done through services, to solve problems and to create new futures. We're doing this in mental health, in housing, in education, in disability, in ageing and with communities, and with all levels of government, NGOs, businesses and philanthropy. And often, though not always, we're using design thinking and doing methods. And the stories from these projects and the perspectives of my colleagues are going to be woven throughout this course to bring this idea of design thinking alive. It's a little bit surprising to be here, because to be honest, I've spent the last few years trying to get away from design. I wanted to understand all of the other things in the social innovation toolbox, all of the other things in the cupboard that we could be using that weren't design. Things like deliberative democracy methods, systems methods, evaluation methods. I was looking for other approaches and other tools to add to the toolkit. And there's a lot of tools out there, and that's another course. But the reality is that design methods are pretty versatile, and I keep coming back to them in our work for exactly that reason. So with this course, I'm back on home territory. Design methods, I think, are like a good set of genes, dependable, versatile, reliable. You wouldn't want them to be the only thing in your innovation wardrobe, but they're a pretty good staple. In this course, I'll be sharing with you a versatile set of design practices so that you can participate in design-based social innovation projects and build your sense of what's good and what's not. Design methods are incredibly versatile. Of course, they're very good for designing things, for example, when you're trying to create something new, but they can also be useful in planning, in strategy, in evaluation, in making improvements to things that already exist, and even in the day-to-day work of running a team or in an organization. And in the organizational part of my role, I use them to plan meetings, to work with my colleagues, and to come up with new internal systems. My colleague Martin, well, he even uses them around the dinner table to plan family holidays. That's never worked for me. So what's different about this design thinking course? Because there are heaps of design thinking courses out there. While few of those cover off on the special considerations you need to make if you're using design thinking for social innovation, And that's because design thinking have very strong roots in commerce, and most courses take that perspective. But our goal is outcomes above profits. And we want to apply these methods to some pretty complex situations. We're not designing biscuits here. Often, we're designing things to support people that have been marginalized by existing systems. And often, we're working in and around complex systems of policy and decision making. So, to make design thinking work in this complex social settings, we're going to look a little broader than design thinking. We'll be drawing on thinking from rights-based movements in disability and mental health, as well as traditions of participatory design that have their origins in the workplace unions in Scandinavia, and also evaluation, because evaluators have thought a lot about how to think about outcomes. And why design doing? Well, what makes a design approach fundamentally different from a lot of other alternative approaches is that it's based around doing and making. I'd say unless you're making stuff, you're not really doing design. And what makes design thinking different is its focus on learning through doing. So it's the doing bit that's really important. To call it design thinking or only design thinking is a bit misleading, really. The next module, module 2, is called What's the Project? It's going to introduce some of the fundamental concepts of design thinking, assumptions, the innovation journey, and the stuff that we're going to really think hard about if we're going to make design thinking work in social settings. So the themes of power, inclusion, and trust. We'll explore the potential of design methods not only to come up with better solutions, but as a vehicle to radically transform the relationship between people and institutions. We'll explore why and when to bother with design methods, when they're a good fit and when they're not. And we'll share a tool to frame the scope of social purpose design projects by considering where you're starting in the innovation journey, where you want to get to, your level of ambition, and considerations about sharing power in decision making. And at the end of this module, and of every module, we're going to finish with a framework that will help you judge the quality of design practice that you're doing or you see around you. And I think it's something that you could use in commissioning or in monitoring the quality of your work or others. Module 3 is called What Is? And it's about understanding the current situation. We'll explore tools and frameworks to understand the current situation and the opportunities for something different. We'll share with you the design research methods that we most frequently use at TACSI, and how design research methods can be combined with and used to extend and complement conventional research methods. We'll touch on recruiting participants for design research and how to gain informed consent. And we'll give you strategies to make sense of everything you learn from discovery stage work, so you can shape everything you've learned through a rich design research phase into a clear understanding of the current situation and critically actionable and grounded opportunities that can serve as a jumping off point for creative responses. In the fourth module, What If, we're going to get creative. We'll explore strategies for developing creative starting points for new solutions based on the opportunity areas that you've already spotted. How do you get to ideas that are out of the ordinary but might just work and that are informed by what's worked elsewhere? And now that you've got all of these great ideas, how do you choose between them? So we're going to explore strategies for making good choices, so you know where to smartly focus your limited resources. The last module, module 5, is called What Works? we'll explore different kinds of prototyping methods to help you develop your ideas into well-rounded concepts, to improve those ideas, and then to start to evaluate concepts to get an indication of the change that they could create and build an evidence base of what could work in the future. We're also going to explore what comes after prototyping. What needs to be in place to take models that have demonstrated potential in prototyping to scale? My aim is that at the end of this short course, you'll be able to answer these questions. When is design thinking a good approach, and when is it not? What's good design practice, and what's not? How can I identify opportunities for innovation? How can I have better ideas? How can I turn ideas into solutions that work? And how can I use design thinking and doing in my work? I hope we'll also excite you to continue your learning journey with design thinking and social innovation. Now, this is a very short course, so we can't cover everything to do with design thinking and design doing. We won't cover designing and managing design-based projects or how to create the conditions for innovation in an organization and a system. We will touch on collaborative design methods, but we won't explore them in the depth they deserve. But all of these things can be explored in other training, and we'll be happy to point you in the right direction. So, congratulations. That's module one, what's the course? And next, we'll be moving on to module two, what's the project? See you there.